Good morning. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 10 as we continue to look at God's Word. And what we've seen in the past, if you've been looking at the book of Acts, that there are many people who the good news of Jesus Christ has been preached to. And up to this point, it's been limited to those who have been Jewish or part Jew. If you turn to the preceding chapter, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So here we see the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is now going to begin to spread out. And the first Gentile we see is going to be Cornelius. Now back to Acts chapter 10. In the first verses, verses 1 through 3, we see that Cornelius has a vision. I want you to note that. It's very important. He is being spoken to by God. Revelation is coming to him. In verse 2, a devout man who feared God, who gave alms generously to the people, prayed to God always. That's the description of him. A godly man. Verse 3, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God. God is going to provide the means for him be right before God. And this is why. Look at verse 4. He observed him, was afraid, and said, "What is it, Lord?" He said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, send for Simon, whose surname is Peter." He's telling him what he needs to do for his prayers to be answered. Now look at verse 6. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, if you highlight verses of scripture, highlight that one. He will tell you what you must do. And Cornelius did exactly what God commanded him to do. Now, Peter is going to be coming to Cornelius. Peter needs to be prepared for this. And God is going to prepare them. Look at Acts chapter 10, again, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry, wanted to eat. And while they were being ready, he fell into a trance. Now notice, Cornelius is described as a man of prayer. And what's Peter doing now? He's praying. And he's going to get revelation from God. Verse 11, he saw heaven open, object like a great sheet, bound at the four corners, descended to him and let down to the earth. It was full of all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything clean or uncommon." Peter does not want to eat anything common or unclean. Now look at verse 5. A voice spoke to him again, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." So again, God is communicating to him that what you're about to do is because God is commanding you to do it. Look at verse 17, because now he's going to get some instruction directly. While Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had sent meant, the men who had been sent for Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. Cornelius did what God instructed him to do in his vision, and now Peter is going to do exactly the same thing. Verse 19, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, these three men seeking you. Arise therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Peter is going to do exactly what God has commanded him to do. Now the whole purpose of this is very specific. Again, the proclamation about the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into all the world. And I'd like to just pause here for just a moment and ask the question, why are you living today? Why are you living today? Why do you want to be alive? Why do you want to live? Is that an important question? Yes, it is. Because there are decisions that we make every day that are going to affect our lives and how we live. Recently, I asked myself that question. I was out for a walk. And I'm thinking, why do I want to live? Why do I want to live? And the only answer I can come up with is one answer. To know God, to love God, and to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Why is that? Because I belong to God, and I'm here to serve Him. So as we look at these passages of Scripture, we need to remember why we are alive. We're alive because God created us in His image, and we're in this world to serve Him. So look at Acts chapter 10, verse 24. Because now Peter comes to Cornelius' house. They're waiting. Verse 24. The following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for him, and he called together his relatives and close friends. Again, something so important. We're waiting. We're going to hear about what we must do. We know Cornelius is a man who prays to God continuously. And note here, he's got his relatives and his close friends with him to hear what they must do. Should we be concerned about our relatives and our close friends? Can I hear an amen? Yes. And this is a good example. If we love God, if we want to serve Him, part of our service is to our family, our friends, and those we come in contact with. That's what God wants us to do. In Acts chapter 10, verse 25, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter lifted it up, stand up, for I myself am also a man. Cornelius wants to hear what God wants him to hear. Cornelius wants to do what God wants him to do. Look at verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go out with another nation. But God has shown to me that I should not call any man common or unclean. This is a major change in the life of Peter and his understanding of God's will. Up until this moment, we have this vision from God. He's had some instruction from God. It's opening the door for him to realize that this message is not just for the Jews, but for who else? The Gentiles, for all mankind. So this message that's being preached is for everyone. Verse 29. He explains to Peter why he was called. Verse 29, therefore I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked him, for what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And on the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And so Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He's bought in the house of Simon by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So here Cornelius is explaining to Peter why he sent for him. And notice, Peter didn't know exactly that, did he? He didn't know all the reason why he was going to Cornelius' house. But Cornelius told him that God sent me to get you, to call you here. And now Peter is seeing some more information. Now look at verse 33. says, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Did this man value his relationship to God? Yes, he did. Now, as we're here this morning, as we come together on the first day of the week, we observe the Lord's Supper, because we are commanded to do it by who? By God. By not partaking the Lord's Supper, are we being obedient to God? No, we are not. We need to examine our hearts, because we just can't pick and choose what God has commanded us to do. And I shared this story with you before, and that is, as one of my friends was studying, teaching them the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm the same way. I explained to them what you need to do to obey God's word. And the woman said that that verse is not in my Bible. And he was shocked. How could that be, the verse is not in her Bible? You know why that verse was not in her Bible? Because she had cut it out and said, are we to do that? Are we to cut out the things that we don't want to listen to in God's word? Many choose to do that. They choose to put aside those things. Oh, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. Look again in verse 34, Acts chapter 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I'm going to tell you right now, Acts chapter 10, as we see this conversion of Cornelius, I think is one of the most important examples in the Bible. Because he says there, God shows no partiality. And there are many passages of Scripture that teaches us that. Whomsoever will. God so loved the whole world. God is concerned about every person. Verse 35, again, Peter speaking with revelation from God. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Once again, why are you living? Do you want to live? What are you living for? The whole purpose of our life is this. Fear him and do those works he wants us to do. That's why we're here, and for no other reason. Now, this is something that's revealed to Peter. Remember his dream, the sheep that came down with all the unclean animals on there. And then he gets direct instruction by the Holy Spirit to come and to go to Cornelius' house. And now he's speaking to the people who've been gathered together. And he hears from Cornelius that I was told to send for you. Do we see all these miraculous events coming together? All these things interwoven that are so important. Verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. He's preaching who? He's preaching Jesus. Verse 38. But God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When we talk to people about what life is all about, Jesus Christ has got to be there, doesn't it? He's got to be at the center. Every faith that we live for as Christians is centered on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything. And then he says in verse 39, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. I've been emphasizing this over and over and over again. As we read this, this is historical fact. The evidence is there, and the evidence is plain. And as Peter now is preaching to these Gentiles, as they're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, he tells them in verse 39, we are witnesses. Now, how many witnesses were alive at this time? Two? Ten? Hundreds of them were there. Hundreds were witnesses to his resurrection. And he continues in verse 40 of verse 39, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, whom God raised up on the third day, showed them openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Now this is the center of the gospel. Jesus Christ died on that cross. He was killed. On the third day, he arose from the grave. And there are witnesses to these things. Why? He ate with them. He drank with them after he arose from the dead. And then Peter says in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he that was ordained by God to be judged of the living and the dead. Again, I mentioned, I will emphasize, Jesus is the heart of the message. When I first obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I had to make sure that I knew what God's word said. What does the first verse of the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the whole message from thenceforth is about God making a way for man to atone for his sin, to repent of his sin and turn back to God. And then when you're speaking to people about the Bible, why should I believe the Bible? It's just a book written by men. It's made up, all this kind of stuff. What is Peter saying here to Cornelius? We are what? We're what? We're witnesses to these things. And that is what is so important. There have been men, forensic scientists, lawyers, very astute and educated men, who have set out to prove that the New Testament is wrong concerning Jesus Christ. And guess what happens to many of them as they examine the evidence? They come to the conclusion that the evidence is overwhelming, that Jesus Christ lived in this world, he taught in this world, he was crucified on that cross, and he arose on the third day. So the evidence is there. The eyewitness accounts, second-hand witness accounts, the extra-biblical and also the biblical evidence is there about who Jesus is. And when we talk to people, they're going to raise questions. And we need to be ready to answer them. Be ready to give what? An answer. Always be ready. And to be ready to do that, you're going to have to spend some time in God's word. Verse 42 again. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judged of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Now notice again what Peter's doing here. Look at verse 43. To him, all the prophets witness. When you look at the Old Testament, all the prophets witness that this is the one. Through his name, literally by his authority, through him who has all authority, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Now that particular verse has been misinterpreted and mistaught. Must we believe in Jesus Christ? Must we believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. But just believing in Jesus Christ, is that all that God expects us to do? No, not the belief that some people say. Does the devil believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. So some people will twist this. All you got to do is acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. No. Believing, biblical belief, involves much more than that. But you must believe who he is if you're going to have any remission of your sin. So we're going to begin to look at verse 44 and then stop here because it's so important what's happening next. Because Peter is preaching the message. He's told them about Jesus and who he is. He's told them about who he is, a witness. witness to these things in this place. He's emphasized that you must believe in Jesus' remission of sin. And we talked about all these miraculous events. Cornelius was told to send for Peter. Peter had his dream, preparing him for what he's going to do. Peter's been told to go with him. He goes to Cornelius' house. Cornelius, is he excited when Peter's there? Yeah, he wants to worship Peter. Peter said, stop. I'm a man like you. And then Peter begins to preach Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something because this is important. Look at verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Here's the Holy Spirit again. A miraculous event is about to take place. And we're going to see that this miraculous event is very similar to what happened in Acts chapter 2, the first time the gospel message was preached. When the first message was preached, there were men there that began to speak in what? Tongues. And we're going to see this now. These Gentiles who are listening to Peter, they hear this message. Now the Holy Spirit is going to give them another sign. Because what do they begin to do? They begin to speak in tongues. Now once again, this is history. This is eyewitness and second-hand witness accounts of those things that took place. These are historical facts. And again, when we look at these things and we talk to people, we can speak with a certainty that these things are true. And we can help people to believe and understand who Jesus is. Now again, when we believe, is there something that we must do with our belief? Yes, there is. Be faithful unto when? Unto death, and you shall receive the crown of life. Every day could be your last day. We need to keep that in our mind. Because after you breathe your last breath, do you have any opportunity to change your life? No, you don't. Make yourself right with God today while you have the opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning who's not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to take that step. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to be willing to confess Him before men. You need to repent of your sin. You need to be baptized for remission of your sins. And you need to live faithful the rest of your life. If there's anyone here who needs to obey the gospel, you need to pray for this congregation. Please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.